Part 3, Chapter 4, The Task's Five Healing Streams. You must thoroughly understand why we are discussing the gift of healing, a sevenfold world brotherhood, and a seven times sevenfold field of radiation is developing around seven world foci. A new bow has been set in the heaven, a totally new electromagnetic field has been created. A great new possibility has revealed itself for seeking humanity. It is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of the universal gnosis, through which, as Romans 8 puts it, the manifestation of the children of God becomes possible. It is the fulfillment of which the Confessio Fraternitas says, "One thing, O mortals, shall be stated here by us, viz., that God has ordained that the world before its end shall be given an inflowing of truth, light, and greatness, such as he commanded, should accompany Adam in paradise." This tension field of truth, light, and greatness is now spreading over our lands, but unfortunately, no mortal automatically partakes of it. This is out of the question because the microcosmic system of dialectical humanity responds to a totally different magnetic field of tension. It is therefore imperative that man goes another path of life and takes measures so that his entire microcosmic system may be opened to the touch of the sevenfold Holy Spirit field. Whoever succeeds in this has become an exceptional human being, for, from that moment on, two natures speak within him, the ordinary, dialectical nature, and something of the new nature which begins to manifest itself in him. Clearly, this will have tremendous consequences, and if we are still wholly of the old nature, a gaping chasm lies between us and the tension field of the Holy Spirit. But when a few individuals enter the state of the two natures, a bridge has effectively been spanned. Then, via those few who constitute the bridge, the Holy Spirit field can link up with everyone in a special manner, albeit not yet directly. As soon as the gifts of grace of the Holy Spirit flow into a person because he has opened his being, his heart sanctuary to the gnosis, a certain activity of new powers arises, a variety of effects, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. And immediately such a person becomes fit for various forms of service. With those powers unable to be explained from this nature, such a human being can then serve. Why is this? Because he is not yet wholly of the new nature, but only with a part of his being. If one of us were entirely of the new nature, we would quickly lose touch with him or her, because the two worlds, the two natures, cannot merge. They cannot work together. The one true kingdom is not of this nature. When a person is touched in his being by the power of the universal kingdom, however, a state of two natures arises, albeit temporarily. Through this exceptional condition of the human being concerned, who effectively acts as a bridge, we can experience something of the holy serenity of the original life. With one part of his being, such a person is of the new nature, with the other part, he is of our nature. He can tell us what moves him inwardly and, to a certain extent, approaches us with what he has received. Although the light thus given to us cannot even remotely be compared with reality itself, it is nevertheless a light in the darkness of our existence. Provided we are true seekers and the pain of dialectics makes us yearn for deliverance, we can assuredly be helped in some measure by this incomparable light shining through human heads, hearts, and hands. The gift of healing is related, amongst other things, to this. A pupil who is connected with the gnosis enters a state of development in which faculties unfold. With these faculties, entities still wandering in darkness but longing for light can concretely be helped. A power surges into the fundamentally sick person through these faculties, a power of great liberating significance, a help which touches all aspects of the microcosm so that it may rightly be called the gift of healing. This gift, however, has yet another aspect. You will be aware that the gift of healing is a faculty to make the people yearning for deliverance fit for and open to the first touch of the rose of the permanent atom located in the heart sanctuary. When an increasing number of people possesses this gift and acts in the three offices, namely the apostolate, the office of prophecy, and the teacher's office, more and more Gnostic power is released and utilized in the dialectical field. Just think of a magnifying glass. If, in the darkness of our existence, we can grind a burning glass together and with its help catch and concentrate the radiations of the Gnosis, we will be able to start a fire. It therefore makes a great difference whether one person alone develops and employs the gifts or, for example, hundreds. The spiritual school strives after this result to form a group of human beings who have truly been captivated by renewal and who spontaneously and without any conceit or fuss begin to develop and radiate by virtue of their being touched by the Gnosis, such a formidable power that unbelievable results will unfold. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, calls this the revelation of the sons of God, for which, as he says, creation waits with eager longing. For creation is subject to futility. Man, the creature, is totally imprisoned in the bonds of this nature, and now creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God, so that from the bottom up, here, in the unholy existence of our nature, the Holy Spirit can be ignited. The transformed Holy Spirit radiates in five clearly perceptible streams from such a group of servants who have become God's people. These are the five spiritual gifts of which we spoke, the five tasks mentioned in Corinthians 12, namely the demonstration of powers, the capacity to heal, the capacity to help, the capacity to guide, and the gift of speaking in tongues. When a human being is liberated in the Gnosis, powers emanate from him, for when the spirit spark atom, that precious jewel at the top of the right heart ventricle, is touched by the radiation of the Gnostic sun, it reflects that radiation. Paul calls this reflection process the expression of powers. The instant a human being is touched by the Gnosis, these powers radiate forth spontaneously, independent of his will. They radiate from him automatically. It is not his power, but the activity of the divine sun reflected in the heart atom. This is the expression of powers, the involuntary reflection process of the permanent atom. Later, when the process progresses in the pupil and the head sanctuary is touched, whereby the diadem behind the forehead also begins to radiate as demonstrated by the eyes, and thereafter, when the new magnetic circuit, the second serpent fire, is revealed, these radiations of power grow ever stronger, ever mightier. When there is a number of such brothers and sisters in the spiritual school, and a group of true seekers enters the school, attending a lecture or later a temple, this group will be touched by those powers emanating from the pupils concerned. They will be received in this pool of Siloam, and must react to it. If that group consists of real seekers, of human beings yearning for the Spirit, they will sense this effect of power. One could might that they begin to breathe for the first time, and they show it by saying, for instance, "How wonderful, how very special it is here. What makes it so?" They think it incomparable, extraordinary in the spiritual school, as if enchanted. This is the initial experience of all pupils in the school, and many of them have the urge to talk about it to one another. In this, they stood under the expression of powers. When the patients, this term is quite correct, because all of us, as microcosm, are damaged, truly yearn for the Holy Spirit, so that the psalmist's beautiful words, "As a heart longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God," are applicable to them, then the expression of powers becomes the demonstration of healing. the power transformed by the heart atom of the said few then also touches the heart atom, the rose, in the seekers. The initially weakly concentrated touch of powers soon experiences a densification in the spiritual school, whereby the cloud of light power in which the seeker is situated first densifies to a focus and subsequently forms a ray. This ray, this fire, is aimed at the rose, the heart atom, the mathematical center of the microcosm. If the rose proves receptive to it, if the rosebud begins in some measure to unfold under this radiation power, healing sets in. 4. The moment the rosebud within you proves open to that power, there is proof that you are assimilating, that you are not mystically basking in the demonstration of powers and remaining at the aforesaid stage of breathing, saying, "Oh, how wonderful it is," in the temple of the rosy cross. That power then breaks in, the rose opens and nourishes itself. From that moment, a process starts developing within you, a healing process which for the time being is still second-hand. I.e., through the demonstration of powers transformed in others. The gift of healing has touched you, a temporary process that will later be taken over by the gnosis. Clearly, a very special link between the school and the pupil has been established. The phase of, "Oh, how wonderful," is then over, for this process of making whole, this inner touch, often hurts. It is a fire that will often scorch you, but we progress along the path thanks to the touch of healing. As a result, the third task can be undertaken, the third task for the benefit of the candidate. The pupil is given the correct type of help in his or her private magnetic situation. The capacity to help then demonstrates itself in the candidate as a reality. Although, generally speaking, our paths are directed at one goal, our experiences are highly individual, for are not our circumstances, difficulties, and conflicts highly individual? Now, help is given you. The Brotherhood treads a path with you that is wholly adapted to your own circumstances. This is why the experiences of pupils are in many aspects so dissimilar. You are helped according to your individual electromagnetic condition. Is not the microcosmic firmament in the auric being of all of us different? Do not the radiations of the auric being of the magnetic firmament sing a different life song in each of us? Well, the Brotherhood takes this into account, and you thus receive precisely the help you need in your own circumstances. Once this help has been given, you are guided, the fourth task. There is no freedom at all at this moment. We are wont to say, since we have heard it from time immemorial, or because it comes to us from truly liberated life, "I want to be free," but at this stage of the path there is no freedom at all, for what do you know of the path? What direction must you take? Do you know? What do all those experiences on the path mean? Do you know anything about it? You know nothing about it. You are only speculating. That is why, if you seriously wish to go the path and demonstrate your perseverance in the aforementioned process of development, a time arrives in your life in which you are guided literally and bodily. For your I being, your ordinary, natural consciousness, cannot understand this process, cannot steer. This I must disappear. And when you place your I in the background, there is no new consciousness to instantly take over the guidance of your system. The Brotherhood, therefore, intervenes with that capacity to guide and says to the candidate, "Now we shall help you, and you will pass right through everything to the goal because you deserve it, because it is now possible to help you." The relationship with the Brotherhood which hereby arises is described in Psalm 139, in which the soul, which is guided, says, "O Lord, thou dost beset me behind and before, and art acquainted with all my ways. If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there thy hand shall lead me." This refers to the fourth task, the capacity to guide, of which Psalm 91 sings, "He will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." For you will by no means be confronted with the most fierce and devilish things when you go the path. If you place your eye in the background and entrust your entire being to the guidance of the Brotherhood, the fourth sun will rise over you and you will be guided through the darkest valleys as if on a smooth road. When the fourth task has been performed and the candidate has been impelled to a certain point, he receives, fifthly, the gift of tongues. Then the universal doctrine is imparted to him. For then, in the altered head sanctuary, the universal secret speaks to him and the scales fall from his eyes. In this condition, the candidate, for the first time in his life, beholds the remarkable path face to face. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, and the rose in the heart sanctuary blossoms forth and opens completely to the divine sunlight. What the candidate heard or read up to that instant about the universal doctrine was but the outer image of the mysteries. This image, however well it may have served him, now fades. The candidate instantly enters the circle of helpers, the chain of God's children. He has become a member of the new race,